If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Now, you're very welcome back. And our psychotherapist, Susan O'Donoghue, is with me. Good morning to you, Susan. Good to see you today. You're going to talk to us about empathy.
I do, Frank. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, indeed. There's confusion, though, isn't there, between empathy and sympathy? And
there is, yeah. People kind of group them together, don't they? But they're very different. Because for me, empathy is shown in how compassionate and understanding how much of that we can give to another, where sympathy is more a feeling of pity maybe for another. That's my take on it. And I suppose there's loads of stuff, loads of research, loads of books, loads of everything written about this. And Daniel Siegel, he'd write a lot around, you know, conscious workplaces and all. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he would say it's extremely powerful to hear someone say, "I get you, I understand, I see why you feel this way." This kind of empathy disarms us, you know, in the sense of this kind of puts down our barriers. We get that sense of, oh my God, relief. Someone kind of understands me.
But you're putting yourself in the other person's shoes. So
exactly.
To speak, then,
that's
it?
Empathy. Yeah? That's empathy. Where sympathy is kind of, oh my God, I feel sorry for you, but I'm not going there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense indeed.
That's my sense of it now,
but
right?
I can see then as a manager what a wonderful tool it would be to be able to be empathetic.
Because if you like, I think our greatest need, of course, Fran, I'll go back to this again, is to belong, to be seen and be loved, yeah? So if someone gets us, if someone listens and hears us, yeah, that's really a powerful tool, isn't it, to connect with somebody. And connection is what we want. Like, it doesn't matter whether you work with somebody, whether you're romantically involved with somebody, whether it's your children, whether it's friends, whatever it is, it's that connection, that lovely human connection that we all desire. But it's the conscious, honest connection, not the one that's unconscious, that's driven, say, by the need to, I suppose, protect yourself in it, because God forbid I should feel like that.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? But if I'm in a solid place myself and I've done that work on myself first, where I can have empathy for myself, then sure, I can give it to another. We're back to the whole thing about what I do for myself, I can give to another. As I said before, if I have 100 euros, I can give you 100 euros. If I don't have 100 euros and you're looking for it, I can't give it to you. It's that simple. We need empathy for ourselves first before we can give it to another.
But I guess the proper empathy, if it was prevalent, we'd have a lot less problems, wouldn't we? Because we could see the other person's side and we could put ourselves in that position and understand.
Yeah, and I suppose what comes with sympathy sometimes, like, just take a situation, and I'm guilty myself of doing it, you know, I'm a lot better now than what I used to be, but that advice given.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Is there anything worse when you go to somebody and you're stressed and you're feeling overwhelmed and you just want somebody just to stay quiet, say nothing and have empathy for you? Yeah. So the sympathy thing would be the unconscious stuff where we kind of
your
start
poor
going,
old thing.
Oh, do you know what you should do now? Do you know? Cringe, you know. And like, the last thing you want when you're under pressure like that is advice. Because to me, vice is like a vice. It squeezes the life out of you, like, it's no good for you. So to me, that lovely empathy around, you know, I'll never know exactly how you feel, but I hear you and I'm getting an understanding of what's happening for you.
Yeah. You just brought me back such a memory. Years ago, I remember being in such a bad place that I actually shared where I was with somebody who I thought would be empathetic indeed. And the reaction I got was, yeah, well, I'll tell you a better one. I was, and went on to describe a situation where they were in a dark place. I ended up showing empathy for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's amazing that we're not really listening some of the time.
No,
we?
And I think communication is probably the key to all this. Do you know what I mean? And communication isn't about talking. The greatest thing you can do for somebody is listen. It's the bottom line. And really listen. You know, without advice, without personalising it, because that's what that gentleman did or that person did, whoever you're speaking with, they personalised it and brought it back to themselves. Yeah. So it's that lovely separation out from somebody else in the knowing that, oh my God, you know, I actually will go on this journey of feeling this with you, you know, and support you and accompany you.
Yes.
As opposed to trying to fix you. Yeah,
and isn't it a great privilege if somebody deems you capable of empathy that they might share that with you, isn't
it? Oh, sure. Look, every time I sit with somebody, it's such a privilege that they share their story with me, because it's always back to story, isn't it? It's always, we're coming from our story. And like, to think that somebody would think that you're okay to share that with, like, I just think it's a privilege, you know? And I think it's kind of a huge deal to tell somebody what's going on for you. It's really, you know, it's huge for you. Like, you're not going to choose just anybody, you know. If you're in a situation where you're panicked and you just need to leave it out, you might, yeah. But generally, if you have a think about it and you're looking for somebody, we'll search for somebody who we feel safe around. And we're back to that safety thing again, that safety in relationship, you know what I mean? There's nothing in the world like it, to feel non-judged. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
And no criticism. No, sure, I could have told you that, you know. Should we knew that? You know, shouldn't I say that before? You know, it's like, oh my God.
You want to just strangle somebody at times.
Please.
Can you learn empathy, Susan?
I think, can you learn it? I think it can be modelled for you. Yeah, I certainly think you can. And I think for lots of us growing up, we wouldn't have seen that kind of empathy. We would have seen the empathy that is more, or the sympathy that's more, sure, you know, you'll be all right. Or, you know, like, they diminish your feelings, or they, like, you know, they'll lessen them, or they'll put them down, or they'll say, push them aside.
You shouldn't feel that bad.
And like, you know me, with should, coulds, must, have to, and auto. The words just, they shouldn't be used in the English dictionary. But, like, that sense of that. Do you know what I mean? Like, that your feelings don't matter and you don't matter, because all our feelings make sense and they're coming from us and about us and they're for us. So anything that comes from me and is about me, sure, it's right for me. I'm the expert on me and you're the expert on you. Yeah. So it's a lovely space if you can create it for somebody. Yeah. But you need to be in that place yourself. You can't give it if you don't have it.
Go back to something you said a moment ago, because I just love it. I hadn't thought about it before. Advice being like advice.
Yeah.
Will you tell me about that? Because we're all prone to saying, you know, I have a bit of advice for you now.
Yeah. It's just that, it's that fear factor, isn't it? It's that automatic fear factor, unconscious response. Because if I'm fearful for you now, just say your kids come to you, right? Because they're the ones that really press our buttons, right? And they'll go to you, oh, I was in school today and, you know, so-and-so came up to me and they said something to me. You go, well, do you know what you should do now the next day? Like, just because they're kids don't mean they're not the expert on themselves, right?
So how would you deal with that?
Well, I'd say, and how was that for you? You know, how do you feel about it? And what do you think you can do around it? Can I support you in any way? Now, that's instilling a self of belief in their own power.
Yes.
It's given them a sense of, God, I do know what's going on from here. A man believes that I know what's going on for me here. You know, so there's nothing in the world like that, is it? Because we want to enable our kids to be able to do what they need to do for themselves. We don't want to disable them by telling them, I know you shouldn't have done that now. When you go in, you need to be doing this. Do you know what I mean? Or you go in there now and you tell him what's going on and you don't leave him bully you. Do you know what I'm saying? What are we doing there now? Now, I'm not saying that if things get stressful and things that you don't step in at some stage. Of course you do. Yeah, you'll know when to step in when it's gone beyond, you know. But like, if you want to empower them, you give them that sense of self, that the sense of belief in their own courage and their own capability and ability to do what they need to do to take care of themselves, to safeguard themselves, because that's what it's about.
Is that an issue for you? Do many people come to you thinking, she's going to fix me now and she's going to give me advice on what to do?
Yeah.
And then they discover that that's not what you do.
No, that's not what. And I'm very clear about that.
Yeah.
And what I loved
but
was...
You don't, but do people expect, she's going to be the oracle now. She has the fixing
Well,
of
that's
me.
Why I'm coming to you. Yeah. You know, I get a lot of that, you know, but people know pretty quick, you know, because I'd be honest and I'm upfront, and that's one thing I am, is honest. Mm. But like what I had was one day I was speaking with a group and I had a lady say to me, can you fix my husband? And we had a great laugh about it when we looked at it. But it's just that sense of, you know what I mean? Sure, that's what you're there for. You're there to fix. Everybody's the expert on themselves. One thing I'll do is I'll accompany you and I'll share with you my experience of what has happened for me and what it's like for me. And I'll give you my sense of non-judgment for myself. I'll share that with you. Yeah. And my sense of safety that I've, I suppose, gotten over the years from working with other people, yeah, from going and seeing other people for myself. And I think you need that before you can accompany somebody. You need that sense of, I'm okay here. If I need help, I'll ask for it. Like, how hard is it for someone to ask for help? Like, that's a very difficult thing for a lot of people to do.
Very difficult.
You know?
Because they might perceive it as showing weakness.
Yeah, and it's the greatest strength you could possibly have
is to look for help.
Yeah, because it just shows that, you know what I mean, that you're active in your own self-awareness, that you're trying to support yourself in it, that you are supporting yourself in it. You're not trying, you are, you know. And it's to seek out then somebody who has that safe relationship and who has worked on themselves, because I don't believe there's too many people out there who have been brought up that way. You know, with that sense of belonging and being loved and being seen, like different levels along the way, but there's certainly nobody who has it 100% that I've ever met.
Well, that's for certain. I'm going by what I've gotten from listeners, particularly over the last maybe 2 years, since COVID, I think there's been a sea change in terms of people are more angry, frustrated, easily annoyed, polarised, all of it. Does that reflect itself in any way in the people coming to you in the last few years, Susan? Or am I reading too much into this?
I don't know what I've seen a huge difference in it since COVID, to be honest. And then again, during COVID, I would have been doing Zooms, so the face-to-face is gone, and there's nothing like
face-to-face. And I don't mean COVID, I'm just saying in the last few years.
I would say that, like, I suppose people are more outspoken about their anger, but I think social media has a huge thing to do with that. Do you? I don't know. Like, I feel that it has.
That's a good point, yeah.
You know, I feel people, you know, when you don't have that face-to-face contact, it's a lot easier to say nasty things about people.
Mm.
It's a lot easier, you know, say things that maybe you wouldn't say to someone's face.
Yeah, I saw it on Sunday night after the hurling game with Limerick. Like, people were horrible.
Vicious.
I mean, just beyond the beyond. I mean, you can be critical if you need to be of a team, but they were just...
And remember now, what's coming up for you is about you and for you. Yeah? So there's the lovely opportunity now for somebody who really got stressed and really got upset over the hurling, yeah? How is it that I get so stressed and so upset over a hurling game?
Because it had little to do with the hurling, I guess.
Yeah. No, well, it's about yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the lovely opportunity then, is to be able to go inwards and have a look at that. Do you know what I mean? But as I say, if it's true relationship, that we build our walls and barriers and that we get these protectors, because that's what that is, getting angry over a hurling game, yeah? Then it's true relationship that I'll find the safety to be able to peel back the onion or take down the walls. That's basically what it is. So, like, for somebody who gets really angry like that, your anger is for you and about you, and it's created by you, yeah? And we're never an enemy to ourselves. So that anger is to alert you to something deeper that's going on inside for you.
It's always wonderful to talk to you, Susan. If people want to talk to you, how can they do that?
Sure, it's 086-3676-256 or info@emotionalwellbeing.ie. Thanks, Fran.
Thanks, Susan. Great to see you as always. That's it for me. Leanne produced, Ali looked after our content from Cashel today. Stephen is on the way, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Tip today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.